Sorry, thank you. Good morning, Lee Roystacker for the appellant, California Highway Patrol Officer Clayton Guillemon. I'm going to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The district court erred in denying my client qualified immunity on Ms. Miller's Fourth Amendment failure to provide medical care claim and the 14th Amendment loss of familial association claim. My plan today is to spend most of my time on the Fourth Amendment medical care claim because there really is no debate about the absence of clearly established law establishing a spousal right to familial association. I mean, the court has said it three times. So unless the court has questions on the 14th Amendment claim, I'll turn to the Fourth Amendment claim. And I'm happy to address anything with respect to that that the court wants me to get to right out of the gate here. So the Fourth Amendment claim for failure to provide medical care fails both prongs of qualified immunity's two-prong test. On the first prong, no plausible claim is alleged. And the obligation an officer has under this court's case law is to provide reasonable medical care. And it essentially is kind of been distilled into two things that an officer can do. One is to ensure medical care is provided by qualified people on the scene, or the other is to take them to the hospital. And the complaint's allegations specifically allege that paramedics were on scene treating the decedent.
Who called the paramedics? I couldn't quite tell from reading the complaint.
So, what happened is there were paramedics at the ski resort that I'm assuming saw or heard what happened.
Well, they just came over on their own?
Yeah, we submitted the videos where there's audio.
Right, I watched them.
And you can hear them say, hey, you got one on standby, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also hear that they called, you know, they said something to the extent of, well, I can tell you exactly what they said. I got medics coming. We got medics coming. So what happened is two sets of paramedics eventually arrived and provided medical care. And, I mean, that satisfies
the medics that first arrived on the scene, what kind of gear were they carrying?
I don't know what kind of gear, but they're paramedics. Mm-hmm. So I would assume they had all the gear paramedics normally had. And again, to the extent they didn't, fire department.
When the truck arrived, the backup, whoever they were, medics in the truck, did they have additional equipment?
I have to assume they did. I mean, they're paramedics, and I'm sure you have to have certain things under California regulations in your vehicle to provide paramedic care. But and there's certainly
as
no
allegation. I understand her claim is that the officer didn't call for additional medical care.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think is alleged in the complaint.
Yeah, that's correct.
And your argument is that there's no clearly established law that once you call for baseline medical care that you have any further obligation.
That's correct. And if you look at there is no clearly established law supporting that. There no case that's been cited by my opponent or the district court. But if you think about that, how that would operate, officers aren't medical professionals. They would have to say, you're not providing enough care. I don't think, as a police officer, you as a paramedic, a medical professional, aren't doing enough. I'm taking this person and bringing them somewhere else. Not only is that illegal in California, but it doesn't make any real beneficial sense because...
Let's kind of change the hypothetical. These guys are ski patrol people, and they have a little backpack, and in there you've got, some Band-Aids, some sutures, things that you might have for people that have accidents on the ski resort. And so they show up with their little backpack, and the officer sees it and realizes they don't really have what you're talking about, like full-on medical paramedic equipment. Would the officer then have an obligation to do more?
Well, I don't know, because no case has addressed that. But what I will say in this case is that they already had, let's call them regular for purposes of this discussion, to separate them from the ski patrol paramedics, although those paramedics may not like that. But the regular paramedics came too. And there's certainly no
allegation. That wasn't, you know, that's your case. I was asking about a different case, obviously.
Well,
at what point you say, well, everybody agrees there's this reasonable obligation. And the question is, what is reasonable? And if all they show up with is a little kind of first aid backpack, would that be enough for an officer to say, okay, the ski patrol backpack arrived, I'm done, I'm out of here?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting hypothetical, obviously. There could be an obligation to do more, I suppose, if the officer, it certainly also depends on the type of injury. And maybe there's an obligation to do more if what you're saying is, mm-hmm. you know, they show up with just like a little fanny pack or whatever.
Yes.
But again, no court has said clearly that that's what an officer has to do.
And then the other point I wanted to just ask you about, you said it's illegal under California law. It would have been illegal for them to have transported the individual.
It's to interfere with a paramedic.
Oh, I see. That's what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's Penal Code 148A1. And if you think about, again, the reasoning behind that is you don't want people interfering with paramedics' provision of care, non-medical professionals making judgments on that.
What was the time lapse between the shooting and the paramedics arriving on the scene?
If I could clarify, which set? Because it was relatively quick.
Well, it's relatively quick.
I think
3 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, here's the timeline, at least that I divined, maybe from the record, is that there's noting that a shot occurred. That was at 9:46. Then we got medics coming at 9:48, and then the medics arrive at 9:53. So there is actual timeline here.
The first set or the second? I think the first set arrived before the 9:53, but I could be mistaken. But there is a time lag. Obviously, there's a time lag sure. in every case where paramedics are called and arrive. And it's certainly going to take, this was a shooting, and there was a knife present. So there's certainly the time needs to be taken by the officers to secure the scene so paramedics can come in and provide care without risking injury.
I gather that those first paramedics that arrived, the first two or three, they tried to offer some assistance to him.
Sure, and the officers were offering assistance before the paramedics got mm-hmm. there as well. That's clear on the videos.
And do we know when the truck arrived if anything more was done?
I don't know. We don't know that because we don't know what gear necessarily the ski patrol mm-hmm. paramedics had.
Right, because there's been no discovery in this case.
Right. And I'm assuming, you know.
I mean, that's basically what the district court basically said, this is too early to decide all these questions.
Yeah, it did. But it's certainly not too early to decide whether the law is clearly established under plaintiff's proposed rule. And no case supports plaintiff's proposed rule. It just doesn't exist. And no case holds spouses have 14th Amendment familial association rights. So there's no need for discovery when the facts as alleged establish the absence of clearly established law. And if you think it also, and that defeats the purpose of qualified immunity. Like if the law is not clearly established and the can is kicked down the road to allow discovery, it defeats the purpose of qualified immunity, protecting government officials from the burdens of litigation. And essentially, that's our position on both those issues. If the court has any other questions.
You want to reserve the balance?
I'll reserve the balance. I think 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Thank you.
Morning.
Good
May I begin?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sheila Mosini, and I represent the appellees. So at this stage, the lower court accepted the complaint's well-pleaded allegations as true, and those allegations were that Mr. Miller was shot, handcuffed, and gravely wounded, and not transported to a hospital. Also, that the appellees were intimately involved with Mr. Miller into his day-to-day life, bore a child with him, and cared about his safety, down to within the hour preceding him being shot. This question is not whether appellee will ultimately prove the claims. The question here, I think, before the court is if the complaint plausibly alleged claims when the allegations were accepted as true.
The complaint makes considerable references to the video.
It does, Your Honor. Yes.
And we've looked at it.
Okay. The court has looked at the video?
I have.
Yes.
Okay.
And in that video, it shows the paramedics arriving within minutes after the shooting.
I believe
as I understand the allegations in the complaint, it's that they needed to call for additional medical assistance. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe it shows in the video it shows that ski patrol arrives on foot. Can't necessarily call and conclude that ski patrol paramedics were actual paramedics. They arrived on foot. There was no truck. I don't believe that the video actually shows a truck arriving. So I'm not sure where appellant is.
I'm trying to understand the claim in that you said there's three things. There's a shooting, individual down, there's some treatment, and ultimately the claim is that he wasn't taken to the hospital. Is that your...
Not only that he wasn't taken to the hospital, that a ski patrol does not necessarily rise to adequate medical care. I believe the test is if medical care was objectively reasonable. I think when ski patrol is arriving on foot, I believe as the court said, where they might just have Band-Aids and not necessarily equipment, was it reasonable for an officer to sit back and not do anything at that point?
Well, but it seems from the video that the officer said, I called paramedics. And so he called that. What more should that officer have done?
I believe that the officer should, I don't know what time it said that he actually said he called, summoned paramedics.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because they're giving him care.
When we were talking with the other counsel, the timeline is laid out there. It's quite quick.
Right. But my understanding.
So it's not a question of timeliness, correct?
Mr. Miller was left on the ground for about 30 to 40 minutes until he passed and was pronounced dead via phone.
Go ahead. Okay. You're going to have to break up these allegations. That doesn't necessarily relate to the officers calling the medics being whether that, you know, was a reasonable execution of their duties. So you keep expanding it. Well, and then he was left on the ground and then he wasn't taken to a hospital. But it seems to me that we're looking at the duty of the officer here.
Right, Your Honor. I think it's disputed that the second the truck even ever arrived, as the video shows, it's only ski patrol on foot, if the court is considering the video. And
I don't wish to engage in any kind of argument, but there were additional paramedics that arrived on the scene, and I'll let it go at that.
And you're not disputing the authenticity of the video, are you?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. And so I guess what's your best case supporting your position that Mr. Guillemot didn't provide an objectively reasonable medical care here? I'm trying to figure out what case you're relying on when it appears he called for help quickly.
Tatum, Your Honor, that officers must seek necessary medical attention by either promptly summoning necessary medical help or taking the injured detainee to a hospital.
They did the first part. It's an or there.
Right, Your Honor.
And I thought you, in your brief, you were arguing that this case is not one governed by Tatum and DeBronstein. So I was curious to see what your...
My understanding is that I'm unable to really use DeBronstein, and I have to rely more on Tatum, is my understanding.
But I don't know how Tatum is your best case.
Well, it appears that Tatum sets the rule, but it doesn't actually resolve the case. The complaint alleges that just the medical care was just not objectively reasonable post-arrest medical care. And the inquiry for that is, my understanding is based on the totality of the circumstances. There was restraint of Mr. Miller. There's no hospital transport. There's no adequate escalation. And there's death at the scene after substantial delay, about 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes.
30 or 40 minutes before he dies, is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor.
What does that mean?
Mr. Miller was left on the ground to die.
Well, but paramedics were attending to him.
Within that point, yes. I believe that they arrived sometime later.
Well, it sounded like at 7:50, I mean, within like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm confused.
9:46 to 9:53.
I believe
now the paramedics are here. They're taking care of him. And you're saying, well, but he's on the ground and then he dies. And you, in effect, impute that to the officers. Right?
But is the court referring to ski patrol or the actual EMS?
Well, there were a couple sets of what appeared to be paramedics. The first set, and then the second set, which arrived shortly after the first one. So I'm not quite sure what more the officers could have done or should have done. And I'm looking to you to tell me which case would guide us here that would have informed the officer of what his duty and responsibility was beyond what he already did.
There's no case appears directly on point other than, you know, DeBronstein was decided after, but, you know, appellees contend that, you know, officers should have still seen that he was, that Mr. Miller was transported to the hospital that was about 11 miles away.
You know, I mean, it seems to me that the standard you're imposing is that the officers has to interrogate the medics or whoever arrives with respect to their qualifications and what equipment they have and that sort of thing. And we don't have any case that would require that.
And I don't believe that's the inquiry, Your Honor, that there needs to be an intensive inquiry into qualifications. I believe it's just what's reasonable under the circumstances, just that adequate medical care is being given.
I don't think DeBronstein really adds anything. I mean, of course, it's a case, a year or so after the events. But it really kind of reiterates the basic reasonableness standard, and it doesn't provide any further degree of specificity for us to judge by. So if we leave DeBronstein to the side and just take our general having to provide having reasonable medical care, where did they go wrong?
I believe the officer still went wrong by not seeing that he was transported. And that also depends, too, on, you know, just...
So he should have interfered with the people who were trying to give him medical care and taken him from them and taken him somewhere else?
I believe that he should have seen that he was actually transported to a hospital that was 11 miles away.
He should have told the paramedics there was a truck that came. Yeah. So you're saying that what he should have told the paramedics, take this guy to the hospital.
He should have still overseen and see that Mr. Miller got adequate medical care.
So what you're saying is the arrival of adequate medical care wouldn't be sufficient. He has to oversee it to the end.
I don't believe he has to oversee it to the end, but see that he's transported. I think once he's being transported potentially.
Why shouldn't he jump in the car with him in the ambulance and make sure that the medic is providing appropriate care?
I think that might go beyond reasonable jumping in the car, Your Honor.
Well, do you have a case that would say that?
Not jumping in the car.
A case that would say he should have demanded transport or separately called again for some kind of ambulance?
I do not have a case for that.
I mean, doesn't that kind of sink your case? I mean, it's a very sad situation here, but you can't really impugn duties to the officer that the court has not yet specified in a case. So that's what we're struggling with, and you can see that.
I understand, Your Honor. And we still believe that that, you know, relies on disputed facts that can't be resolved in this motion, because, you know, appellee is seeking for and has sought to go outside of the record to look at a single video to resolve facts in their favor. And there's still discovery that's needed on this case. This isn't a motion for summary judgment. And we're...
Okay, so just hypothetically, if you're now back in the trial court, we have the video. The video is the video.
Right.
So that's evidence. What is the discovery to the officer? What do you need to know, in your view, that would relate to these disputed facts?
I would like a full deposition. The deposition that was the statement that was given is a few pages in length. It's missing a lot of questions that I would ask the officer.
I'm asking you what, not the deposition is, or the statement is too short, I'd like a big deposition. It's what discovery specifically would you ask the officer that you think would resolve these disputed issues?
I would ask him what care he actually provided, if he knew if there was transport capability by ski patrol. I would ask him step by step what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he did is what I would ask him, step by step. And I think that that could resolve that question.
All right.
So regarding qualified immunity, there's key unresolved questions with qualified immunity, and that I believe needs to be, that more discovery is needed on that. It can't be decided on a 12B6 motion. Regarding the videos, again, we would dispute because the appellant is arguing that to use the videos to draw contested inferences against appellee, which is not how the law is supposed to work. And the court should not be using them to decide medical adequacy or to resolve disputed reasonableness questions on the video. Regarding the familial association claim, the court allowed that to proceed because the court made the finding that Ms. Appellee was intimately involved day to day with Mr. Miller's life. She lived with him, she bore a child with him, and she looked out for his safety down to within the hour that he was killed, shot and killed. So in conclusion, the case should proceed because the complaint plausibly alleges that Officer Guelman failed to take objectively reasonable steps to secure timely and adequate medical care for Mr. Miller, who was gravely wounded. The court should also allow the loss of familial association claim to proceed because Appellee's relationship went far beyond a regular spousal relationship. She was intimately involved with Mr. Miller. Appellant's contrary argument depends on disputed facts and defense favorable inferences about what a single video shows, whether medical care was adequate, and whether further action was required. Those questions belong after discovery, not on a 12B6 appeal. If the court should remand for dismissal, appellee would request that dismissal be without prejudice or with leave to amend. Submit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Unless the court has further questions of me, I'm prepared to submit.
What would be the remaining claims? Let's say if the outcome was in your client's favor, what claims will remain before the district court?
With respect to my client, because there's many defendants. Again, my client wasn't the officer that did the shooting, so all those shooting-related claims exist against a state parks officer. There's still a potentially viable excessive force claim under the Fourth Amendment against my officer, and then there are state law claims.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you, for your oral argument presentations. The case of NM versus Guelman is now submitted.